This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conkers3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my colleague, Wheelie Dealer, Wheelie Pete. You can find him at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. This is Twin Peaks Investing Podcast number 98. And we're heading towards that big three-figure number of 100. And I've got some big news for all of our listeners with regards to Twin Peaks 100. We're going to have some, doing something slightly different regarding number 100. But before I get to tell you all of that, we've got lots more to share with you. And before that, say hello to Pete. How are you doing, Pete?
Yeah, okay. How are you? How are you doing?
Is that all you've got? I'm okay.
I say I'm okay. I mean, people who follow me on Twitter might have seen I've had all sorts of ins and outs with the health service last week and stuff. It seems like they're slowly narrowing down what's causing my pain, and hopefully a resolution will be on the horizon, but hopefully not too far away. So, yeah, I'm pleased because there's progress, because they're getting things done, but it's frustrating that it takes forever and they just continually don't really find much wrong, which is sort of, you know, it's really pleasing that there isn't much wrong with me, but equally it's awkward because I want a solution to this pain.
Yeah, I fully understand that. I think we've had enough, so many discussions on here about getting a resolution to it. And every time you seem to be getting a bit nearer, it gets pushed back again, which can be a bit frustrating. Well, it's significantly frustrating for you. And you just want to get back to having some sort of normality to be able to do stuff. So,
oh God, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's keep pushing.
It's just so limiting with what I can do, and it's frustrating as hell. So, but hey, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the markets have been a bit better to us, so I've got to look at the positive things about life, you know.
Okie dokie. Right, let's just talk about the markets a little bit then, Pete. Since we were last here, the markets have been headed a bit lower and then moved back higher again.
Yeah.
We hit 7,700 on the FTSE 100 or there or thereabouts. We're sitting today when the market's shut. It's the 5th of April. It's currently 7 o'clock. And when the market's shut, for the UK, we're sitting at FTSE 100 was at 7,662, and that was up 28 points on the day from an intraday low of 7,634. FTSE 250 had taken a bit of a hit, and that was down 1%, down 213 points at 18,601. FTSE All Share was at 4,161. That was up just short of 6 points for today. And the FTSE AIM All Share was once again holding up just above 8,000 at 8,003.69. And that was down 0.8% for the day. When I came off looking at the market earlier, about an hour ago now, the Dow and the S&P and the Nasdaq were all down. Dow was down 0.05%, but pleasingly for me, from what I measure, it was back above 33,000 again, and the Dow was at 33,384, given the recent lows that it had going back in March. S&P 500 was at 4,073. Down 0.67%, 27 points, and the Nasdaq was just down again, drifted below 12,000, that magic 12,000 that most people want to see it holding. It was at 11,935. That was down 1.57. There's lots of volatility in the tech space, at the moment regarding a variety of different things. And we'll talk about some tech stocks a bit later on with regards to the Twin Peaks Challenge March winner, which we're going to announce later on. But what are you thinking of the markets at the moment, Pete? And what have you been
Well,
noticing
I
regarding
think,
the ebbing and flowing? Because we had all that noise in the last podcast regarding the banks, Credit Suisse, UBS, that's still rumbling. You know, bought the
I
company
mean,
for 5 cents in the dollar.
I think it looks like the banking thing is being pushed back now. I think the big thing this week has been around, because it's Easter bank holiday this weekend and the Easter period this weekend. So obviously the UK market is shut on Good Friday and obviously the Monday. But we also have the weird thing that the US non-farm payrolls, thanks to Michael T, who reminded me about this today, the US non-farm payrolls are going to come out on Friday. But the thing is, the UK market will be shut. So that's quite an unusual situation. Today there was the US ADP jobs report, and I just had a quick look before we started recording the podcast, and that actually showed that job growth was softening. So chances are we'll probably see a similar softening in the NFP numbers on Friday. I think it all lines up to this idea that the US economy is starting to slow. And hopefully that will help to ease bear down on inflation. I mean, it's slightly worrying. I am sort of seeing talk now that a lot of people are talking about potential recession in the US. So it's like you overcome one monster, the monster of inflation, and then they invent a new monster, is the monster of recession. I mean, it in the UK, it appears that we're not going to go into recession. It looks like we're going to avoid that. But, equally, it's hard to see whether inflation's really been under control. I just want to throw in quickly, in podcast TPI 97, the last one, I incorrectly said that core inflation was energy and food. I got it the wrong way around. It's actually core inflation is the inflation number minus energy and food. So the idea being it strips out the volatile bits in the numbers. And of course, the worry about that is that if you strip it out, core inflation is still pretty high and has been rising. And the danger is that it sort of suggests that things that aren't food, things that aren't energy, are rising. So it's things like wages cost, distribution cost, materials cost, production cost, all that is rising. So, it's like it looks like inflation could be quite embedded, and that's a little bit awkward. So even if we get energy prices dropping back, and that's sort of uncertain anyway, even if we get food prices dropping back, it may not actually help in terms of the core inflation. So, it's still a very, very messy macroeconomic picture.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on, Pete. I don't think it's going to get any easier. And because everything you've spoken about is going up, but the one thing that everybody needs to go up is their wages if they are working to actually be able to combat that. And if you are sitting on a situation where you're not working and you're just getting, living off your pension or, you're living off benefits, everything else that's you're looking at purchasing or having to deal with, every single cost has gone up. My concern at the moment is regarding discretionary spend. So if you're holding any stocks where the items, the stuff that they make, et cetera, discretionary, from cakes to jewelry to, figurines, then you might want to think about it because at some point or other, those people who have got hobbies or like cake might decide not to spend so much, and to also consider where people might actually be spending more or looking to get money from. So you've got the likes of H&T and Ramsden.
Pawn
Those are sort
brokers,
of hideaway places I would consider to maybe look at because I think they'll go from strength to strength over the next 3 to 6 months with regards to people going there, pawning their their jewelry and other bits and pieces that they need to actually keep themselves above water,
Very, Very good results from RFX the other day. Ramsden,
Yeah,
very good
I
results.
saw that.
And
Yeah, I
it
think the I think.
and the valuation looks pretty reasonable. From memory, it was in the region of forward PE around 10. I think it had a forward dividend yield around 3. So if you're going to get a reasonable dividend and you hopefully should get some growth and you're going to be in a fairly defensive sector, it's got to make a lot of sense, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think they could do well. I
Hmm.
think that's one to keep an eye on.
Hey,
Or two to keep an eye on, I should say.
you mentioned discretionary items. Well, this morning, like we said, we're doing this on Wednesday, the 5th of April. The SMMT, which is something like the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, I think it's called, they put out the new car sales figures for March, and the headline looked really good. I think it was up a big number, like 18% up on last year or something, a really big number. But it was still something like 8% down on 2019. And if you dig underneath the figures, private car sales was actually down a lot. And I was watching, I don't know, something on telly, probably Fox News or something. And they had a guy from Auto Trader on there, and he was saying that they've noticed a real drop off in private individuals, retail buyers looking at new cars on their website to the tune of 40% drop off. So,
Wow.
so it looks like private buyers are not buying, trade buyers are buying. There were some interesting things around, EV cars. They were saying that pure electric vehicles, battery only, were fairly stagnant as a market share. But when you include hybrids as well, so that's like combustion, petrol, diesel engine cars, what they tend to be petrol, that have got like an electric motor as well. So they're sort of a bit like an E, a bit like a battery car, a bit like a petrol car. If you combine those numbers as well, they're the growest, biggest growing segment. I think there was something like 35% of the market. So that was quite interesting. But the other thing that's come out is that UBS, I think it was, have done an analyst note on the car sector, and they reckon that the production forecasts globally are far too high for the demand there's likely to be. So they think there's going to be downward pressure on car prices. And apparently that's already hitting EVs. So if you're in the market, if you're lucky enough to be in the position where you're able to buy a new car, it might be an idea not to rush too much. Take your time making your decision, you know?
Well, this is it. I mean, the whole point of electric cars, for instance, was to save on the cost of fuel, wasn't it? But if it's actually costing you a not dissimilar amount to actually charge it, and it's a very expensive car to buy in the first place,
Oh, yeah.
if you're not in the rush to buy them at the minute, then why buy one? Might as well just put
Yeah.
up with your unleaded or your diesel car at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For the time being, and just wait for a little while.
They said something else that was interesting. They said that the biggest segment for private car buyers is still the super minis. So that's like the little baby cars, you're like
The little baby cars,
polos
yeah.
and whatever. And they said the difficulty for manufacturers is it's much harder to make a really small car as an electric vehicle only because of the heavy batteries and because of the cost, to make it price competitive. So I thought that was quite an interesting conundrum that the manufacturers are facing. But apparently they are, trying to overcome that problem.
Yeah, I think people are going to rein in their spending, Pete, until they know that they're no more
Yeah.
going forward, and they see things dropping off a little bit, because what they've got to combat, they're combating at the minute, obviously, is the fact that even the cost of even the house that they want you to sell, it's coming down. You know what I mean? So those that wanted to release some value in their property or properties are seeing the value of those going down. No one's buying houses. Well, I say no one. Not as many people are buying houses at the moment as they were this time last year. So it's all headwinds, mate, at the minute. Headwinds and
Mate,
headwinds.
it's another important thing to mention on the macro thing You know, the good old US debt ceiling that comes up from time to time. I mean, incredibly. I mean, I think from memory, but from what I read, the last US debt ceiling problem was actually 2018, but it feels like only yesterday, because it seems like so often we come up against this problem where the US government's going to run out of money, it's all going to seize up, and there's going to be a US bond crisis, and it's going to be the end of the world. But invariably, they always raise the debt ceiling so the government can keep functioning. Apparently, that is going to kick off between June and September. So that's just something to be aware of, that's probably going to become a big story yet again, as it always does.
And obviously the big story at the moment is Trump being taken into court,
Honestly,
so we'll see what happens with
mad.
that. That's going to run and run all year
Well,
until the end of the year.
we've got our own
So
political scandal here today, haven't we? Because we've had the husband of Nicola Sturgeon was arrested this morning. So it's all kicking off,
dear, dear. Less
honestly,
we say
West.
about politicians, I think the better, Pete. And it
Oh,
just seems to be that no matter what party it is, there's always
dreadful.
shenanigans going on. You
Dreadful,
know what I
isn't
mean?
it? Yeah, it is dreadful. Mate, can I just throw in something else I just want to add quickly? On the last podcast, TPI 97, we mentioned ESG funds, environmental social governance funds, and I was going to talk about that. We didn't actually talk about it in the event. We're not going to talk about it today. But what I have done, if you go to the at Wheelie Dealer TikTok account, I've done a video about it there that I released today.
Okie dokie. All right then, mate. No worries. Pete and I have mentioned quite a few times on here to be looking out for stocks in your portfolio that are weakening or weak, because there's going to be lots and lots of takeovers going forward. And if they've got a strong balance sheet, there's possibly going to be taken over. The other side of this is that if they've got debt, or if their sales aren't coming up to scratch and they've been quiet for a little while and they've delayed their news, then there's probably going to be a profit warning. I think we've probably seen more profit warnings in the first 3 months of this year, the first quarter, than we've seen takeovers, to be fair. And maybe as many, if not equal, of companies that have said actually we're outperforming because they've been smart enough to manage their revenue streams and manage their books and manage their capex costs and have done extremely well. So if you had a very, very good quarter up to the end of March, very, very well done to everybody that's listening to this podcast. Those that are in positive territory, very, very well done. I want to talk about a stock that I held previously, Pete, and I got a nosebleed from it. And that particular stock profit warned again. And you mentioned Michael T earlier, and that's Michael 514-92851. Michael and I held a stock a little while back. I think Michael may have got out before even I did.
This is that
And the
cyber
stock
security one, isn't it? Cyber security
is
shop.
Shearwater,
Yeah, that's the one.
ticker symbol SWG.
Yeah, I thought it
And at
is.
the end of March, it got absolutely smashed again. I went into the stock, bought it, sold it, took a 32% loss going back to 2021, and I refused to go back there any ever again. So that 32% loss, I got out, I think, at 133 was the price I got out at. I think last week it was at 52 pence. It crashed again, 36% at 52 pence. So it'd gone from a high in 2021 of about £2 odd. It's currently it was at 52 pence last week. I'm not even looking at it again. But that what I'm trying to say regarding the SWG one is that if you've got a company in your portfolio and it's labored on releasing news, and you haven't seen them re releasing any contract news regarding winning this and winning that, the likelihood is and the potential is they're either going to surprise to the upside because they've been generating revenue elsewhere, yeah, and they're keeping quiet until the news is released, or they've not released any news because they've got no news to share and they're going to give you a profit warning. I wrongly ignored the signs, and that's what cost me a 32% loss. That's going back all the way to 2021 when I got out of it. But it's then just carried on. So it's gone from £2. What price is it today, Pete? You just have a quick look then, did you?
I was
52
looking,
pence last week.
I was looking at
it's
another
just getting
one.
Lower and lower and lower.
I was looking at another one, which we'll talk about in a second, which is a similar sort of story. 53p today.
Right. So, yeah. So yeah, it's one of them. And it's one of those where the company has already made lots of noise about we're doing all right. I love my cybersecurity stocks, or did. And they should be in a sweet spot now with all the cyber threats that are going on. But the problem is that if they're a little bit too small, and even the big ones, a bit like Darktrace, if they don't win enough contracts, then they can't generate the revenue. If they're not winning big enough contracts, it's costing them to just stand still. So the profits just decline. So that's what's happened to SWG. Is it one I would go back into? No. You know, there's better companies out there to look at.
Interestingly, the market cap is now down to around 12 million. So it's becoming a real tiddler. And of course, you then run into liquidity problems and stuff with them as well. It just becomes, really troublesome. Mate.
Can I just say, Pete, 1 minute? Your volume is quite low at the minute.
Oh.
You sound a bit lower than normal. Are you sitting any different? Is the settings any different?
No, I don't think so. It's all here. I'll try to speak louder.
Right. Just a bit louder, mate, just in case.
Yeah.
Right. Carry on. You were saying.
No. One that Profit warned as well, I think it was this week. Thankfully, it's not one I hold, but it's one that has been seen as a bit of a darling for quite a while. And that is D4T4 Solutions, which is like a sort of data analytics kind of company, you know. And it's an interesting one, that one, because the warning seems to have come from some delays to getting orders signed up. So in theory, those orders should get signed up in a future period, but you always run that risk that they won't get signed up. I mean, it's really difficult. I think you could almost view it both ways. It could be one where, yeah, they delayed orders come in and it all works out fine and everything's good. Or it could be the typical story where you get a profit warning, then you'll find in the next trading update, you get another profit warning and then you get another one. We've seen it so many times. And it, you know, just brings a worry. What it's so difficult. We've talked about it so many times on the podcast. It's so difficult to know what to do on specific profit warnings. I would say, as a general rule, the idea of selling on the first warning is probably not a bad idea, because so often they come in threes. It's never easy.
Well, I think I've probably had more profit warnings than anybody else this year, Pete. And I've got one that if it comes out with bad news next time, it will be three profit warnings.
Yeah.
February, March, and then April.
Oh.
You know, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. So
we
will see.
That?
But the problem you've got with some of these companies, Pete, is that they've got lumpy contracts. So they'll have no contract, and then you'll get a really big win.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's all its problems over with. But it depends on the actual metrics of that contract win and whether or not it's something where they immediately get some revenues from it, or it's a contract they've got to fulfill over the next 12 months or 6 months or 2 years, and they get incremental amounts of that contract as they go along.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Depending on what happens with D4T4, it might be a case of those delayed contracts come in, the revenues go straight to the balance sheet, and off they go, and it gets a bounce. But if it's one of them where it's delayed and delayed and delayed, they could be coming in the market. I don't know how much cash they've got. They might have to come back to the market to actually get cash to actually carry on.
No,
you know,
I think
giving capex.
From memory, D4 T4's got a fairly good balance sheet. So fingers crossed
Right,
they
okay.
shouldn't.
So that's
I
one less
mean,
worry then.
yeah, I mean, people need to look into that. And I would say as a general rule, if a company doesn't have a good balance sheet, i.e., if it's got a load of debt, I mean, really, you want, especially with small companies, you want them to have net cash, or you want them to have a very, very small and manageable debt position. If they've got a lot of debt and a weak balance sheet, then as Peter says, they're just going to, you've just got potential for really massive nightmares.
Yeah, I just pulled it up here, Pete, and it says
Yeah.
here that they've got up to cash up to 17.7 million and no debt.
Oh, well,
So that puts them in a
that's good
place of
news.
strength, really.
Yeah.
So they should be all right once those revenues come in. But delays, they don't want any more delays because again, once again, the share price will crater if they come back and tell the market that they still haven't got those revenues online.
Market hates disappointments, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like I said, months and months ago, any disappointment, the market will just smash it to ribbons, which is what's happened to myself
Hey,
recently.
did you see there was another takeover today? Did you see that one?
I did. I was going to speak about that a bit later on. Are
Okay.
you are you do you want me to talk about it now?
No, well, might as well because we've thrown it in, but it was just really because I remember on probably the last podcast or one before, I think it was you said that there will be more takeovers, and I think you certainly said there will be more warnings.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while. There'll be more takeovers. And this is the problem. A lot of our companies are undervalued. A lot of them are neglected. A lot of us have held certain stocks and we've got fed up with them. And it's like, I've been holding this for a year, I've been holding this for 2 years. It's gone nowhere. And the minute you or I sell it, someone will come and say, I'll have a bit of that. Thank you very
Yeah,
much. You know what I
100%.
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was what was I was speaking to somebody, I won't mention their name on here, about Petrofac the other
Yeah.
day, and it's been
BFC.
absolutely smashed. It's gone from a pound down to, I don't know what, 30 40 pence.
Yeah.
Totally unloved. It's in the same space as Wood Group, and Wood Group gets a takeover and the share price absolutely pings,
Yeah.
and Wood Group's getting taken under. And it's great. And what a beautiful thing is that lots of people are now using the term take under or taken under that I've been using for the past 7 years. So keep that trend going, people. I think the crazy thing about it is, Pete, is that we will continue to see takeovers at significant premiums, 25, 35, 40% premiums. I think we've had one the other day, which was 100% premium, something daft. I can't pull it up at the minute, but this is what's
Was
this.
that MLI or something? Had a I think MLI, one of the property companies,
MLI
has.
was something like 60 odd percent, I think it was. It
Yeah,
might have been
no,
a,
I think so.
yeah, or it might even be that high. But that was a real estate one. I can pull the details up for that in a
Yeah,
minute.
no.
But the one I was gonna, the one that you're thinking about today
Yeah.
was Fulham Shaw, ticker symbol FUL.
Yeah.
And they've agreed a 14.15 pence per share cash takeover. And that deal was at a 35% premium. And they're the owner of Franco Manga and the real Greek restaurant chains. And it's agreed to take over from a Japanese restaurant group. You know, so it's not like another UK or well, anyway,
Well,
once again, another
Japanese.
brand and branch is going elsewhere to another person whose revenues aren't going to be going into the UK coffers. It's called Toradol. Toradol Holdings is taking it over. And the acquisition value is Fulham Shaw at 93.4 million on a fully diluted basis. Toradol is listed on the Tokyo Stock Exchange with a market cap of 1.5 billion and generates a billion of annual sales. So that's a massive company just buying up one of our tiddlers. Surely we've got some massive companies that could have bought Fulham Shaw as well, no?
You know, it's very good news for the workers and stuff at Fulham Shaw in the sense that Fulham Shaw was really quite small, you know, for Franco Manca pizzas and the real Greek restaurant. We've got a real Greek in Windsor, and you know, it was all right, but I wouldn't have raved about it. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's good that there's a group with some size are going to be behind it. So if for people
Yeah.
who work there and whatever, it's probably quite a positive because I think when it was on its own, it's especially when you think they've had the pandemic and all that stuff. I mean, it's been a been absolutely dreadful time for the hospitality sector in the UK. And I mean, it's not just the pandemic. You just sort of you get the sense that government and the authorities and that, they just hate hospitality. They hate pubs, they hate restaurants. You know, they just don't seem to put any effort. It's very frustrating because, like, I feel that pubs are a big cultural thing in the UK, you know, and yet they've just let pubs just decline and decline. You know, the number of pub numbers has just shrunk and shrunk and shrunk over time. And it's really sad. But, you know, there's my political rant for the day.
I don't think that will be your end of your political rant for the day, mate. I'm sure you're
I
going to have
doubt
another one
it.
before you go.
I doubt it.
Right.
Hey,
So
mate.
you mentioned, sorry.
You ought to mention Powder Monkey Brewery because it ties in with hospitality. A good chance to help our brewery sector.
Absolutely. So everyone knows, and I was going to talk about it later, but Pete's done a fantastic segue there. I don't know how he does it. So we've got Powder Monkey Brewery as one of our sponsors of the Twin Peaks Challenge, which we're going to speak about later. And they have offered us the opportunity for all of our listeners to go to their website, which is powdermonkeybrewing.com. You can go on there, make an order of £45 or more, and you get free delivery. And you also get 5% off. You don't have to make a full order of more than 45 quid, but if you do, you get free delivery and you get 5% off. Smaller sort of entrance and of that purchase of that, you might have to pay the transport delivery fee for that. But yeah, Powder Monkey Brewery, visit the website at www.powdermonkeybrewing.com and you'll get 5% off your purchases. Yeah, so www.powdermonkeybrewing.com, free delivery over 45 quid or more.
They're down in Portsmouth, aren't they?
Gosport,
Gosport, right.
across the water of Portsmouth. So yeah, and they've got a choice of about 12 or 13 different liqueurs, which I shall be sampling at some point. But yeah, and yeah, you just have a look at the website. They've got some glasses as well, and they do business events, everything, you name it, they're on it. And just pay them a visit.
Sounds good, mate.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
I was going to talk about the other company you mentioned, Pete. Industrial REIT, ticker symbol MLI. That was another takeover that happened. So private equity giant Blackstone, which is a multi-billion size entity, private equity giant, is close to securing a £495 million takeover of industrial REITs. The companies have agreed the terms for a final cash offer, so they've made multiple offers, and now this is the final one. Of £1.68 per share. And that's a 42.4% premium to the close of last Friday. So that came out on Monday, 2 days ago. So the shares, 42% premium again. And this is in the REIT space, which I've started tipping my toes into instead of holding cash. So I'm hoping that will put a little floor around a lot of the REITs that are sitting at 15, 20, 30% discount to NAV. And this is, I think it, if I remember it right, is 1% below the NAV, you know, the price they're taking it out at. So it's not a premium to the actual NAV. It's actually taking it back towards NAV, which obviously last year would have been much higher than that.
Mate, in that sector, and if people are sort of looking for companies that could potentially be undervalued in that REIT sector, UKCM, so I think it's UKCM is the TIDM code. People will have to check what the proper name is, but it's something about commercial property or whatever. They had news either today or yesterday, I can't remember which it was, where basically they had three existing properties renewed on their leases, yeah. And one of them sticks in my mind because it was something like a Kentucky Fried Chicken. So I just love that. I just thought
Franchise,
that's
yeah.
brilliant. So they had a, I think it was in Manchester, your sort of old haunts, mate.
Neck of the woods, yeah.
Yeah, so they had a Kentucky Fried Chicken place, and it's this idea of what they called reversionary potential. So it's like when leases get renewed, there's this reversion thing. So, anyway, basically the uplifts are unbelievable. Something like 18% uplift in the lease charge. And there was two other things they got. I think one was a warehouse and one was something else. And they were, 15% uplift and, big numbers. And that suggests that there's actually a lot more value in these commercial property stocks than is apparent just by looking at the NAVs. So UKCM is on a discount to NAV. I don't know how much, people will have to look that up. From memory, it's on something like 6% dividend yield. So that could be one to look at. If MLI and that are getting takeovers, maybe ones like UKCM could. I don't know. I mean, I'm just
That's a
throwing it out
good
there.
call, Pete. I think the whole space needs investigating to have a look. Go back to what you were saying before. How much debt have they got? How much cash have they got left to invest? What's the yield like? What's the management history like? And if you see a really, really good company in that space, it might be worth investigating. As Pete said before, don't just invest in it purely for the chance of it being taken over,
No.
but invest in it because it's got an opportunity to actually narrow the gap between its discount. If it's 20%, 30%, below the actual value of the properties, if I said to you, okay, you can buy that property down in Covent Garden, it's up for £1 million, but you can buy it for 700K, you'd go, yes, I'd buy it.
Yeah, you'd be interested. Yeah,
What, and
absolutely.
also whilst you're waiting for it to get to back up to the value of £1 million, I'm going to pay you 6%, 7% yield. You'd be like, I'll be the landlord, thank you very much. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? You would you consider it,
absolutely.
wouldn't you, Pete?
Yeah. No, I mean it's really
Still on
interesting.
the takeover side of it, Pete.
Yeah.
Yesterday was it Tuesday? There's
Yeah.
quite an interesting one here, Pete. It's a company I think you hold, or
Oh.
you've at least mentioned it before. Franchise Brands, Fran, ticker symbol. Do you own it?
No, I don't.
Okay, because
No.
they're going down the route of making an acquisition. So this is a UK company, franchise company, making an acquisition, not being taken over. They're taking over somebody else, which is nice and refreshing, I think.
Oh,
So
yeah.
they're looking to make a £200 million acquisition of Pertex,
Wow.
right? And they're doing a discount equity raise. So the share price has been absolutely smashed to raise 90 million. The share price dropped 23% on Tuesday to 185. When I looked before I came on here, shares were at £1.79, giving them a market cap of 238 million. So that's quite a chunky purchase that they're making of 200 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got a current market cap of 238 themselves, and they're doing a discount equity raise of 90 million. So, they're going to seek approval for that acquisition. The acquisition and working capital adjustment of about 12.2 million. So it's a book build at the minute. They're probably going to let some investors in there as well to help with that raise. So the share price has come off. But if they get this deal over the line, I don't like using the word transformational, but it could be good for them once they bed it in and enhance their revenue generation going forward. So we'll see how that floats
They
and how, or what happens there.
recently bought Filta, FLTA. So
It
they've
seems
been,
recent, Pete, but it was back last year, early last year, if I'm not
yeah. So
2021.
they've been fairly acquisitive. I mean, I guess it does bring in the danger, as you said, if they're already 200 million market cap themselves and they're buying another company that's around the similar sort of size and they only bought Filta a year ago, you just
Yeah.
wonder if maybe they're taking on a bit too much. So I think there is something that people need to weigh up. Personally, myself, I like things that do bolt-on acquisitions,
Yeah.
little
Small and
nibbles.
incremental. Yeah,
I'll tell you what,
absolutely.
I'll talk about a stock that I don't think I've ever talked about before.
Give me one sec. Let me just
Go
finish this off.
on. Yeah.
The Pertex, the reason why they've gone for Pertex, Pete,
Yeah.
is that it's a mission critical emergency response service offering, 1 hour arrival times every day of the year, apparently. And
Yeah.
it's got 213 service centers and 838 mobile vans. So it's a quite a significant size company. And that'll just give them so much reach and opportunities cross sell across the whole of Europe. So that's why they've gone all in for this one. And if they can bed this in and do it right, it will just be fantastic for their footprint. But it's a big risk doing this at this particular time.
The
So
good thing
go for your
about it,
stock.
the really good thing about that is that it sounds like Pertex is very similar to what they do already and what Filta does. So it's in a, it's not like they're going off into something completely tangential and different. This is very much similar to what they do. So maybe that'll work nicely. No, on the subject of bolt-ons, there's a company called Judges Scientific, JDG. Do you know that one?
I know of it. Yeah, solid company, really good. Historically, been good for shareholders.
I mean, you look at the 3-year chart on it. I don't know what it's like on a longer time frame, but on a 3-year chart, it's a lovely uptrend. And it just is one of these companies that just tends to do lots of little small bolt-on acquisitions of scientific instrument kind of thing. So it's pretty specialist stuff they're buying and quite small stuff, but they seem to do it really well. And I think that could be a company for people to look at and to weigh up. From memory, the forward PE and stuff is, I think it's a forward PE around 22, 20, that sort of number, which seems a bit high, but when you look at the history of what it's achieved, I think that's probably worth paying. If people were to buy it and just be patient with it and just, let it do its thing over time, sort of thing.
It's been a quality company for a long time, Pete. And I think sometimes, going back to our mentor Phil Oakley, sometimes you've got to pay up for quality. You know, if you're going to be holding it for a long time, pay up for the quality of it, because you know they've shown historically they can generate the revenue, they've shown historically they can manage the books, they've shown historically that they can generate profit consistently. Pay up for it, because you're not going to be getting walloped with a profit warning like SWG. I sooner have Judges Scientific just slowly just going there about its business. It's not talked about a lot by lots of people on
Never,
Twitter.
never,
It's
yeah,
not
it's
been ramped heavily by loads of people
yeah.
on Twitter. It's just gone about its business and it's done really, really well for shareholders.
Yeah.
So buy quality when you can. You know, I'm sitting here, I've been buying this week, buying last week, buying quality stocks whilst the market's going. And if you can, and you get the opportunity to buy Judges when it has another dip or something like that, or buy it even now, and you've got a 3 year to 5 year view, you should do okay, unless they slip up, which they haven't done for a long time.
Yeah, I think that it looks interesting. Look, mate, I've got a new innovation. So for people who are listening on the podcast can't see this new modern innovation, cutting edge, bleeding edge, leading edge stuff, it's a flask. Basically, it means that I've got hot coffee that I can now pour into my mug because
Oh dear.
I've used all my tea. There you go. See, that
Yeah. For
is
those that are
preferable.
not on YouTube, Pete is currently pouring coffee from a shiny flask into
Magic,
his
isn't
little
it?
bit of bone china.
Magic.
Yeah, but he wanted to share that with every one of us that he's opening the flask. Boy, oh boy.
Magic, mate.
Anyway. Right. I'm going to share a bit of news regarding, I've not put this on Twitter. It's Wednesday evening. I haven't put it on Twitter. I'll put a tweet out with this on Friday when it goes out. But today, I did what I've been doing for a little while now. Let me just, I've written the history down here. And I've trimmed once more a bit of AstraZeneca. I say a bit of AstraZeneca, a chunk of AstraZeneca today. So this is how it's been rolling so far. Sold some on the 5th of the 5th, 2022, and the 17th of the 5th, 2022. An average price of 105, 12, and I locked in a 20 bagger. Then I sold some more on the 30th of November 2022, an average price of £112.15, locking in a 22 bagger, 21 bagger. And today, just over or heading towards the 22 bagger, I've trimmed some more, took a chunk out at 115.46 to be precise. That's the exact price I sold at today on the world's a 22 bagger. Why have I sold it? Sold some more, sorry to say, because I'm still cautious of the markets. We've got so many headwinds in the markets, and I don't want to be sitting in December or later this year with the shares or the market battering my largest holding. It still remains a significant holding because of the way it's moved over the past 2 or 3 years, despite me trimming those amounts over the past, which is now coming up to a year since I started now. Next month will be a year I started trimming it. And I put out the CAGR and I put out the percentage year-to-date returns and so on and so forth. But somebody asked me, he said, oh, this doesn't look right, Pete, that you said that you've got a 20-bagger. The reason why I've got a 20-bagger, 21-bagger, 22-bagger on this particular stock is because I've added significantly when the markets have crashed, and I've invested all the dividends, and on the dips, I bought some more AstraZeneca. So that's why it's sitting there. If you put it on a little straight run from A to B, from 1994 over 23, over 29 years, you won't get 22 bags out of it. But that's what's happened when you buy the dips and you reinvest all your dividends, you'll get far more. So that's the beauty of compounding, folks. Will I be trimming some more at some point? Possibly. Have I got it down to the size that I want it to yet? Nope. So we will see what happens. I know people like me to talk more about my losers on here, and I've got plenty more losers to share with you. So to those that want to see me talk about losers, I'll be talking about some more maybe on another podcast, if not later on in this one.
Makes sense.
You still hold it, Pete, don't you?
I hold AstraZeneca myself. I've got it in my income portfolio. That's the only place I hold it. Because it's not a massive part of my overall positions, I'm sort of okay with it. Looking on SharePad, it's on a forward PE of 20, falling to 16.8, and it pays 2.1% forward dividend, rising to 2.2. I mean, you know, the valuation isn't cheap. I mean, I don't think I'd necessarily want to be buying it at these levels. But equally, I think I'm happy to hold it, you know, at this level. But yeah, there are cheaper stocks around. But then you look what AstraZeneca's been doing in recent years, and with its expansion into China and what it's doing in oncology and whatever, there's a lot to like, you know. So I'm fairly relaxed about it, really.
I use today's news about the ovarian cancer being a positive thing to use that spike to sell some today. I've been waiting for some news to get a bit of a spike out of it. It's not cheap. It hasn't been cheap for a little while. It's cheaper than Judges Scientific, to be fair.
Yeah,
and it's got a better dividend than that, and it generates far more revenue than they do, but it's a much bigger company. Mm. If I was to choose between the two, I've already chosen, haven't I? So I'm biased. You know, those that are holding Judges Scientific are going to keep Judges Scientific, and I'm going to keep AstraZeneca.
They're different animals, aren't
today,
they?
Yeah, exactly. So this week and last week, I've been buying property. I've been adding a little bit of more commodity and diversifying my portfolio a bit more. And when I'm ready, I'll share some of those names. But the property side of it, there's lots of bargains out there, and they're paying a nice dividend. And I want to increase my commodity exposure. So I've done that with regard to some large and small entities to give me a little bit more diversity globally across the markets, Pete.
Yeah, makes sense. Believe it or not, I actually bought something this week or the week before. Recently I bought something. I bought INPP, International Public Partnerships, which is pretty much the same sort of beast as HICL, HICL. And I think there's another one called BBGI, Bailey Gifford or something.
Yeah.
And it's basically, that one's like a global infrastructure. It's basically an infrastructure fund. I bought it for my income portfolio just to sort of start a position in it. What I like about it, forward dividend 5.3%, rising to 5.5%. That brings me up to 15 positions, 15 holdings in my income portfolio. I'm now strictly going to follow a one in, one out kind of approach. And what I wanted was something that was different to everything else I had. And I don't think, I haven't got any I think infrastructure is really boring. I think it's going to be one of those, you're not going to get a 20 bagger out of INPP.
That's why I chose it, mate. That's why I've gone into that sector. So the fact that you're joining me in that sector and everyone else is going into that sector, it's about not losing money, Pete.
Well,
You
yeah,
know, you want something
exactly.
boring that's going to pay you 4 or 5%, going to sit still and probably nudge up 5%. And if you can get, I keep saying this, if you can get 7% compounded or 10% compounded for a few years, you're laughing. And you don't want something falling 30, 40% every 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. And especially the idea of my income portfolio is it's very much a do nothing, no stress portfolio. So do you hold INPP yourself?
I don't, Pete, no.
Okay, right.
But
So
it's in the sector that I've been playing around in.
yeah, I mean, okay, well that's interesting because I think we just give away some of the names. So
I
yeah,
know you're going to be digging now. Someone referenced it as, I love it when Pete plays battleships with you and wins.
yeah. Brilliant. That is such a, whoever said that is a goddamn genius. So we have some really very clever listeners. Yeah, yeah, you nailed it with
I
that.
don't like it
So
though. I don't like it, Pete. When
don't,
I want to share it, I'll share it. I
don't,
don't like, you're there. I've got this one. I've got it.
don't,
I'm like, sod
don't.
off.
I'm giving you a bit of a week off of it this week. I'm not going after you. I'm not going after you with my prodding stick for your battleship.
I'm sure you thought that UKCM was going to be one as well, mate. I saw your little glint in
I
your eye.
did have an
Yes, I saw
idea
the
it
glint in
might
your
be,
eye,
you
mate. I
never
saw the
know.
glint.
Mate, do you need to talk about the winner for March?
I think we should do that now, should we not,
You
Pete?
were gonna forget. You were gonna forget, mate.
I
I know
wasn't going
you
to
were.
forget. No,
You
I
were.
was not going to forget, mate.
Were.
Right. I think you need to do drum rolls, Pete, because I've got some information here.
let me just get my drum kit. Well, I think
Right.
the
Ladies
best
and
I can do is
gentlemen,
tap the mic.
drum roll.
Right,
Okay, is that loud enough? Got anyone else's attention? We have the winner for March for the Twin Peaks Investing Challenge, where it's our second completed month, and we have all these lovely books. We've got that book, The Retreat of Globalization by Gervais Williams.
sounds good.
We've got The Smart Money Method. Yeah, I best just get the list really, haven't I? Because I haven't got all the books in front of me here. Yeah, so we've got The Smart Money Method by Steve Clapham, Skeptical Investor by John Stepek, How to Pick Quality Shares by Phil Oakley, The Retreat of Globalization by Gervais Williams, Harriman's House, New Book of Investing Rules, edited by Chris Parker, Dear Shareholder, edited by Lawrence Cunningham, Invest in the Best by Keith Ashworth Lord, The Equity Edge by Mark Jevons, The Investment Trust Handbook 2023, edited by Jonathan Davis. The ESG Investing Handbook, edited by Rebecca O'Connor. The Intelligent Fund Investor by Joe Wiggins. Just Keep Buying by Nick Magula. Oh, I never always get that name wrong.
Sorry,
By
Nick.
Nick Magu-uli. I'm going to pronounce it out. I'm not going to get it right. And The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. Now, Morgan Housel's book has actually hit 3 million copy sales worldwide and
Wow.
still climbing. That's absolutely phenomenal.
That
So the
is a
winner of
lot of
that,
books. That's a lot of
say that.
books. That's a lot of books for a finance
So a
book.
lot of books.
A
Yeah.
lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my missus thinks I've got that many in the house. She keeps tripping over them everywhere. She opens the cupboard, it's like, ah, another book drops on her. So those are all 15 books that our winner can choose from regarding winning this month. And they'll also get a 1 month subscription or credit if they've already got a share scope subscription for the share pad for that. So that's what's going on regarding that. And obviously the person's on the road to winning Powder Monkey Brewery gift, which is a day at the brewery in Gosport, taken care of, 200 cans, design your own beer, design the can, and have 200 cans delivered to you. So we might get some more bits and pieces on the way. So who's the winner, Pete?
I don't know. I'm hoping
you don't know. No, you don't know. I'm just about to tell you. Right. So the winner is...
Is it me?
At DB from GB is the winner for the month. And he returned, or she returned, 16.5% for the month of March.
Wow, that's
and
excellent.
The stocks within that portfolio, Pete, look some of these up for us, please.
Yeah.
Are AEX, Aminex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ticker symbol IRON, Iron, Iron Weld.
Yeah.
And SCIR, Scirocco.
Yeah.
And EMH, European Metals Holding. Yeah. And HE1, Helium 1. Now, please bear in mind that some of these stocks haven't done so well over the course of year to date. They've done well during the month of March, right? So from the 1st of March to the end of March, this is what's happened to this portfolio, and it's returned 16.5% in March. Yeah. This was closely followed in second place by our good friend, Matt Bird, who happens to be an IFA and runs his own little business down in Wales there.
Well done, Matt.
And Matt's portfolio returned 13.5% for March. And
that's
Matt's
good.
Portfolio contains Google, Facebook, PayPal, Warner Brothers, WBD, and Intel, INTC. So Google, Meta, PayPal, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Intel. I'm going to talk about the third one. Did I put the third details down there as well? Maybe I didn't. Oh, yes, I did. And we had a third person a bit way back here. So a 10% difference from between first and third, with 6.5% was PT, P-E-T-E-E, at Twitter handle, at Oswestreet Street Rambler, got 6.5%.
Yeah.
And PT's five stocks were Hochschild Mining, which is HOC, B&M European Value Retail, BME, Bremer, which is BMS, Port Merion, PMP, and Quinetic, which is QQ dot.
Yep.
So what I will ask you to do at DB from GB is to send me a little Twitter message with regards to which of those 15 books you would like. And I'll also need your email so I can send it forward to the chaps at ShareScope for you to decide, for them to contact you, and then for you to decide what you would like to do regarding your month's subscription, or whether you've already got a subscription. They'll source all that out with you. So please make contact with myself on my Twitter handle at Conkers3, and we'll sort you out regarding your book of choice. So go back and have a listen to the books I've read out there, or find the list of the books that I put out on Twitter, and Pete's been retweeting as well, to choose from regarding that. And we're already in the month of April, and we'll see how people are getting on there. And with regards to it,
well
okey
done,
dokey, Pete. So that's where we are.
Do you know
and
what?
By the way, none of those winners or Raj, none of those top three or Raj are currently winning the competition overall. That's another person entirely for both the 2 months.
Ooh.
It's one person winning beyond those four people. That's the beauty
interesting.
Of it, see?
That's interesting. So what you're saying is someone else is winning the world championship, they're leading the championship, but there's individual winners of the monthly races. So, wow, that's excellent.
Absolutely, mate.
So well done, DB. That's brilliant. I just want to make a bit of an observation there. It's really interesting that the person who won, DB, has done it with five fairly small resources stocks, oil and metal stocks and helium. And they've, achieved, 16%, that kind of number. But it's interesting that Matt Bird, hi Matt, who was second, has done it with a completely different sort of kind of stock, because he seems from, I didn't quite
US
catch
tech,
all of
mate.
them, but
He loves his US tech.
yeah, it was
Yeah.
like big US tech, and he achieved like 13% or something. So it's amazing how similar those results are from two different very, very chalk and cheese kinds
Very
of
different
stock.
spectrums.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
totally.
Absolutely.
That's interesting, that.
I've forgotten two books. I need to mention them.
Go on.
The other two books I haven't mentioned are Investing for Growth from Terry Smith, which I think I did have
That's
on the
good one.
pile here.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, there it is. Can people see that one? Investing for Growth. That's the one there, Terry Smith.
Yeah.
And also Investing Your Way to Financial Freedom by Robin Powell and Ben Carlson. Is other of the two books, but you'll see the list again on Twitter. So that's where we are regarding the prizes, and congratulations to DB from GB.
Brilliant.
And good luck to everybody else that's going through the competition for April. It's still wide open, Pete, regarding who could win this overall. And again, the complete chop and change regarding you get a profit warning in April, or you get a takeover at a nice chunky premium, and you could win the month of April going forward. So
absolutely.
That's where we are.
Yeah. And it's interesting that with five stocks, there is some benefit of diversification and stuff, but equally, because it's only five stocks, if one of them pops, you've got a very good chance of being the monthly winner.
And if one of them drops?
Unless you get a profit warning at the same time, which would be goddamn typical,
gotta
wouldn't
be
it?
So careful. Yeah,
yeah,
gotta be so careful.
Well, you know, it's, the thing is, everyone's chosen their five stocks at the start of the year, so you're sort of stuck with them, really. So
stuck with them now. Stuck with them now.
Yeah.
One of the things that Pete and I discussed as well was that there's going to be stocks that get taken over.
Yeah.
And one of the examples of that is CAPE. And once it's fully over and done with, we're going to allow that person who holds CAPE and other stocks that get taken over and it's completely done and cleared and it's delisted. At the close of that particular month, if it's during the month, we'll allow for the next rolling month for the full segmented value of that one stock to be rolled over into a new stock.
Yeah.
And we'll add that. So we'll get in touch with those that have got, for instance, CAPE or other takeover stocks and say, look, this has now been delisted. This is the value of this stock. We don't need to tell you what the value is, but will you choose another stock? So we'll be in touch with you via DMs and Twitter and so on and so forth. Or if you know that the stock has been taken over and it's now delisted or been consumed, then you can get in touch with us and say, look, can you change my stock to this stock? Okay.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to ShareePad today using the TWINPEETS promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Pete, whilst I'm quickly on here, Memphis. Memphis has got a chap walking up and down the country. He's walking from John O'Groats,
wow,
top of Scotland, all the way down to Land's End. Raising money. It's a 900-mile journey he's making. He's currently in Scotland. He was in Edinburgh today, and he visited Edinburgh Zoo, and he was at Queens. Is it Queensbury or Queensferry side of Edinburgh?
Queensferry. Yeah, I've been there.
And there's lots of different parts of Edinburgh that's got Dean on it. Dean this, Dean that. So he's called Dean Weston. It's at Mini Warriors 2. So if any of you guys are on the pathway of his journey, have a look on the map that you'll see me tweeting out. Just pop by. You'll see him walking on his, he's doing it on his own as well.
Wow.
Just give him a shout, give him some words of encouragement on Twitter, and support him as best you can. And if you can, and you like seeing people doing marathon walks like that, make a donation to his Just Giving page as well, which I'll put out on Twitter as well. So our Twin Peaks challenge regarding the fundraising for Memphis is currently on 1365, 1365. We've had two donations from the last podcast from our 2,500 listens, which is a little bit low, but thank you for those two that have made a donation so far
Thank you.
to that last podcast. And we've got this chap, and I love this Twitter handle. It's an absolutely brilliant Twitter handle. It brings back brilliant memories of a TV program. I'll get you to tell me the TV program when I say this name, Pete. You've got 10 seconds to reply. Don't tell him, Pike.
Dad's Army.
Dad's Army.
Straight in
So
there,
that's
mate.
Nigel Donati. Yeah. And Michael, Nigel donated £10, £20, sorry, and £5 gift aid. And he
Thanks,
said,
mate.
"Thank you, gents, for everything you share and your generosity of knowledge to others. I really enjoy your shows and the way Pete regularly interrupts." Laughing face. "I always learn something new. Many thanks." Thank you, Nigel.
Cheers,
However,
mate.
I don't enjoy the interruptions, but it's nothing I can do about it. I've warned him a thousand times, but he's just so eager and so keen to share what he's got to share that whatever he's got to share is far more important than anything I've got to share, which is just the way it is.
It's
Okay.
the coffee. It's the coffee, mate.
We have
Blame the
got
coffee.
Roger Green at Roger
Roger. Hi,
Green
Rog.
2009. And Roger writes, "Keep the podcast going. This is to prove it doesn't take a hippo to get a donation."
Brilliant.
Thank you ever so much, Roger. I love that. I
Brilliant.
love that right up there. And
Brilliant.
Roger has donated, I think for the second or the third time he's donated now,
Oh.
£100 plus £25 gift aid. So thank you ever so much, Roger. And thank you ever so much for your continued support. We really, really appreciate it. And the kids at Memphis that we support with disabilities will really appreciate your generosity and Nigel's generosity and all the other people that have donated so far. Really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Right, Pete, where do you want to go? I've got a couple of bits more pieces of
Mate.
housekeeping to share. Where do you want to go now? Sorry, I've got to mention that. Yeah, sorry. Where to make your donation? www.justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPeaksChallenge23. If you want to make a donation, if you can make a donation, we're coming up to Easter. Instead of sending me and Pete Easter eggs, just drop £2 or a fiver in the Memphis charity bowl. We don't. Pete and I have got enough timber around our tummies. We don't need any more Easter eggs. Make a
Right.
donation to Memphis. That'll do the jobby.
I'm not allowed chocolate, mate. It's bad for me.
All right. So where do you want to
Mate,
go, mate? I've got a few bits more. Go, you go.
you told me today, or rather, you don't tell me, you asked me today to send out a tweet about a special announcement. What's that all about?
Special announcement. We can go there now, Pete. We can go there now.
I think
So
I.
this is me now, having had numerous conversations with Pete and with ShareSoc. ShareSoc.
Yes.
ShareScope, apologies.
Yes. Yeah.
We won't edit that out because I make that comment every single time I speak to ShareScope. I say the wrong thing, despite them being sponsors. But it's a nice plug for ShareSoc as well. So take it while you can, boys. The idea is this: we're on podcast number 98. This is 98, right? And I started back in December with a plan to do a live podcast in London for podcast 100. And I spent an inordinate amount of time running around finding a location that I could get because I'm going to do some fundraising for Memphis. Can I have a free space for a couple of hours or a half an afternoon or whatever, whatever, whatever. Lots of free spaces, lots of empty spaces in London from various different institutions. However, the reason why I got turned down and wasn't allowed to have a space was the insurance and the security and the fire risk. Because as far as Ava was concerned, I'll use my daughter's terms here, is that Willie and I would be rocking up and we'd have 50 or 100 randoms turning up who people wouldn't know, wouldn't be able to vet. They didn't want their administrative people getting all these emails from all these different people saying, we're coming to this event, here's our names. How would they verify who they are? Blah, 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 blah. Turned into a logistic nightmare.
Oh.
So we're not doing that. Not doing that. Can't do that. I'm going to do something different in November in Leicester at the Memphis, like we used to do, like I did 2 years ago. And I'm going to put something on, which won't be a Twin Peaks, Pete and I chatting, but it will be a Twin Peaks related push to raise some money for Memphis. So cut to the chase, Peter Conkers. So for 100, Twin Peaks Investing podcast number 100, bearing in mind not many podcasts get to 50, Pete and I have been married and wedded to this modus interruptus operandi, otherwise known as Twin Peaks Investing.
It's going to be It's going to be nearly 4 years, isn't it?
4 years, near 4+ years, mate.
Incredible.
We're coming up to our third anniversary of being sponsored by ShareScope as well. Coming up 3 years for that as well. So there's lots of different things coming on in May. So there's lots of different things and reasons. Cut to the chase. We are going to put together a Twin Peaks Investing podcast, number 100, and I'm going to organize it so we can do this on Zoom, right? Everybody that's made a donation thus far will have a code, a reference number that they've given to the Twin Peaks Challenge Memphis Charity Fundraise. All of those that have made a donation so far for this particular challenge of 2023 automatically get an invitation to the podcast on live. All we'll need is you to send Willie and I the reference number that you've got when you made a donation. You can go back and have a look at it via your bank account and via the emails that were sent to you, etc. You will automatically get invitation to the Twin Peaks Challenge. And you can be on Zoom with us and pose a question to Pete and I. And it might be an extended version of it. We'll see how it goes. What I'm asking everyone else to do is to make a minimum donation of a fiver onto the Just Giving page. So make a donation, come onto Twitter, pose a question to Pete and I, and put Twin Peaks Investing 100 as the hashtag, so we can find the question after you've made a donation to Memphis on the Just Giving page. You will then get an invitation from us via the code that you give us for the reference for the fiver you've donated or more. You will then be invited onto the Twin Peaks Challenge. There are some guests that Pete and I are going to invite separately. And I've got a couple of special guests, which I'm not going to tell you who they are, will be coming onto the show as well. We're looking for a minimum of about 50 people. I've got capacity up to 100, I think, 99. And then we're going to record it. We might edit it if it's too long. If it's too long, we might even split it in two and do 100 part one, part two, as it's a special. But essentially, that's the idea that I've come up with as a celebration and a thank yous to all of you ladies and gents supporting us for the past 4 odd years, and also a little bit of an opportunity to raise some more monies for Memphis. So if you think that's a good idea, send a tweet to Pete with Twin Peaks Investing 100 as a hashtag. Make a donation to Memphis. We'll do the Q&A. You can come on the Q&A. We'll answer your questions. We'll take it from there. Thoughts, Pete? Because you didn't know anything about this.
I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, we've talked over several weeks as to what we can do logistically and all the rest of it. And obviously, my health is a big factor because it's just difficult for me to go anywhere at the moment. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really good event. I think it, you know, for people who are interested and want to come along and ask a question or just want to be on one of the 99 that we can have, fantastic, come along. You can be there for the live recording. Mate, do you have a date for it and a rough time when you want to do it?
Yes, I'm looking at the moment at May. I think I've got it down as May the 3rd. I'm trying to remember so many different things here, Pete, so bear with me.
It was a Wednesday,
So
wasn't it?
Wednesday, May the 3rd
Yeah.
is the date I've got in the diary at the moment, and that falls smack bang on when we should be recording TPI 100, Twin Peaks Investing 100. And when we fully get this sorted out, it's going to be around the time of around 6:30 that we'll go live,
Yeah.
open Zoom, get everyone in, invite everyone in regarding this as a particular code that they can enter with, et cetera, or we'll just let them in as we do. We might get another a third person to do all the backside,
The backslide,
the back office
the
stuff into
arse
letting people
end.
in. That's not a word I wanted to share, people. Sorry. The back office stuff to let people onto the Zoom. But around 6:30 on the 3rd, Wednesday, the 3rd of May, is when we'll be recording this. So those that want to come on onto the show can come on after they've made a deposit. And we've got some guests and we've got some treats, and we'll do what we can to make it a really, really entertaining night. As an additional to that, I know that lots and lots of people go to the Master Investor Show. Pete and I have been there a few times. I've hosted a stage before now and had different panel sessions. This year, it was meant to have been last week, actually, or 2 weeks back, sorry, and it got changed. It's happening on the 15th of April, so less than a week, less than 2 weeks away, on a Saturday. So the 15th of April, Massive Investor Show, is Islington, part of London, and the Hilton Hotel is next door, where you can find me semi-sober by about 5 o'clock, but absolutely annihilated by 9 o'clock. Because it's thirsty work hosting. I'll be doing a panel session at the Master Investor Show midday. I'll show the times on a tweet maybe next week. And on that panel session, I've got Algie Hall, author, ex-Investors Chronicle, and currently the investment editor at Citywire Elite Companies. I've got Ian Barnes, the CIO, Chief Investment Officer of Net Wealth. I've got Moira O'Neill, author, specialist investment writer, blogger, presenter, and FT columnist. FT, that's where you find know her name
Oh,
from, Pete.
did she used to be at Investors Chronicle? I think she might have been.
Back in the day,
Long,
Pete, she
long
was
time
the
ago,
editor
yeah.
of the Investors Chronicle. Yes,
Oh, right.
she
She was the
was.
editor. Oh,
She
right.
was the editor.
Wow.
And recently she was an interactive investor as well. So she's
Christ.
been she, every, any big entity out there, Money Wise, Money Observer, she's been part of that there. You've seen her writings everywhere. And also an investment analyst called Jay Younger, who's at Aubrey Capital. Good looking boy, was on Love Island for any of the ladies that are watching. He'll be there. He will not be taking off his shirt, but he's got a very lovely face to look at for those boys and girls that like good looking boys or men. So that's my panel session that I'll be doing. I'll be talking about investing in uncertain times. That'll be the panel session I'll be running on the Master Investor Show on the 5th of April. Love to see you all there. Come and see the London South East team and come and visit the stall and have a chat and a catch up. And then come for some beers with me if you want to.
Sounds great. I mean, I wish I could be there with you, but as things are, I mean, in future I'll be sorted and I will be back at these kind of things. And I really can't wait because I love them.
We used to have some
That's
brilliant times, Pete, when you were there. We
oh,
used to have some fab
super,
days, mate.
super. Business Design Centre, isn't it, in
Business
Islington?
Design Centre, absolutely, in Islington. Yeah.
Yeah, good play, good stuff.
Get off at the Angel, I think. It is Angel train station, I think.
I don't know, somewhere that
Yeah.
way, somewhere in
Yeah.
Islington.
So that's me done. I mean, we've been running now for 1:17, Pete. There's one, it's probably one stock I can mention as a random stock to actually throw out there.
Yeah.
That I think has got multi-bagging opportunity, but I don't like saying that too often because they end up tanking. But Oxford Biodynamics, OBD,
Oh, yeah.
came out with some news today, and it popped 7%. And the reason why I looked at this today was because it's involved in the prostate screening business, and it came out with some good news today. Basically delivering screening and blood testing and so on and so forth. And I just think it's got a lot of potential, and the reason why I like it, obviously, as well, is that it's prostate, and men suffer with the prostate cancer and all that sort of stuff down belows. And I had two friends that were impacted by that and had major ops regarding it. So it's one of those sort of companies I want to see doing well in a sense of what they could do regarding testing and all the rest of it. So first of its kind blood test, which predicts individual patients' therapeutic response to checkpoint inhibitors and immunotherapies. And they've got their CERT tests, EpiSwitch CERT tests. So it's just a company I like the look of and what they're up to as a possible research opportunity for people to investigate. I'm not going to say too much more about it. Go and have a look at it. Ticker symbol is OBD. Market cap of 21.6 million. Price range of 11 pence to 29 pence. So it's down near its lows. If it can generate revenues, if it can get taken up by lots of different companies, NHS, etc., it could do very, very well. And it's definitely one I'm going to consider buying going forward. I do not hold it at this time. No.
I was just looking at a chart on it. It was as high as £1.20 back 120p back 2 years ago. It's done the usual slide that, is it that way? Yeah, it's done the usual slide that so many stocks have done. But it looks now that it's in that real bumping along the bottom kind of phase. So yeah. It's obviously a high risk one. It's not the kind of thing I would particularly
Very
invest
high
in,
risk. Tiddler, 21 mil.
but for people
So,
who like those kind of things, then I can
yeah,
see why you should
if it can
do that.
get up to, if it can scale up what it's doing and generate revenues and start throwing cash off, then yeah, those people that are buying it at £1, £1.20, they've probably left the building already. So if you're able to pick up what they left at 120, £1 at 21 pence, so 15 sub 16
15p,
pence
yeah.
today. Time to buy it is when it's near to its lows, people, not when it's at 5 year highs. So that's it for me,
Well,
Pete. Anything you want to add?
I'll tell you what, I will just throw in one stock, and it's something
Okay.
that I think appeared yesterday. It's one that I'm sure a lot of listeners will know about, and I imagine a lot of listeners will probably hold it, and that is DGI9. You know that one, don't you,
Okay.
mate? Yeah. So
Yeah.
I don't hold it.
I do own it, Pete.
Yes, got yeah, magic. Oh, that's made my night. Battleship, I sunk your battleship. Sorry, dude. Sorry, man. I can see he's gutted. He is absolutely gutted. That is such a fluke. I
I
wasn't
just
even
went back into that
trying.
space because what you went back into that space because I went back into infrastructure and said what I said, and you were like, let me just throw another
Wow.
dice, throw one, another dice out there to see if I can get one.
You know, that's
Typical.
unbelievable.
Absolutely
Anyway,
typical. Not happy.
DGI9 invests in like IT technology kind of infrastructure. So it's a bit different to INPP, which is more about social infrastructure. They invest in schools, they invest in some wind farms, they invest in roads, bridges, whatever. DGI9 is more about the whole, the structure of the internet and telecommunications networks and data centers and stuff like that. But what's really interesting is that they absolutely cratered recently. The shares dropped off a hell of a lot. But 2 days ago, or whatever it was, one day ago, people have to have a look through the news. They put out a statement and they basically said, at the current share price, the company's portfolio of assets is materially undervalued. So I think, when management, I mean, it's, yeah, you get management who rant their own companies and all that kind of stuff. You've always got that risk. But I think, generally speaking, it is not that often that a company will come out and say, our stuff is materially undervalued. So I think that's an interesting one to look at.
They're basically saying we don't see any reason for our price for our shares to be this lowly valued.
Yeah.
The infrastructure is there, they're generating the revenue, they're paying a dividend. It's just it's, when you're in when your sector sentiment is high, you will sit there at a premium, Pete. They've had the luxury of being sitting at a premium.
Yeah.
They got spoiled. Yeah. 2022, sitting at a premium. And then everyone's gone, oh, we're out of that sector. We're worried about bonds. We're worried about interest rates. We're worried about inflation. Worried about everything, everything, everything. And all that sector get tarred with the same brush, which is why I've been moving into that sector, because it's now unloved. Yeah. So no, I've only recently started buying it. Had I finished buying it, Pete? No.
Mate.
So thank you for that, mate.
Mate, that was literally a total fluke. I wasn't even trying. That's typical, isn't it? So looking on Shares Pad.
If anyone watching on YouTube now, you can see the disdain and the annoyance on my face while Pete's there smiling his little
big grin
face off big from grin. Ear to ear.
DGI9, it's on a, according to Shares Pad, it's on a forward dividend of 10.3, rising to 11.8 2 years out. People need to look into the history. They need to understand why it did the big drop and to be comfortable with that. But, you know, it just looks like there could be something interesting there. And, I mean, Peter's no mug. If he's interested in it, then you know, that says something itself. Although, obviously, like all human beings, he can get things wrong.
I get lots wrong, mate. I get loads wrong. I get loads wrong. And that's the beauty of just being honest. You know, I will share the losers, mate, of which I have plenty. I think I need to find some wood here. No profit warnings for at least a couple of weeks so far. So we'll wait and see when the next one is. Quickly before we go, I know that we're conscious that this is the longest podcast we've done for a long, long time. There is a podcast out there at the moment from the Investing Matters series. It's with a chap called Mike McGeever, ex-Navy vet, serial entrepreneur, professional investor, and he's also the co-founder of the Powder Monkey Brewing, people that have given us that nice deposit regarding the cans and sponsorship deal that he's got for us. But he's spoken about lots of different stocks, including Whitbread, Zephyr Energy, which is ZPHR, Skin Biotherapeutics, which is SBTX, HVO, which is HVO, the ticker symbol, Poolbeg Pharma, which is POLB, Synergen. He also talks about the winners of his portfolio and the losers of his portfolio, and one particular stock where he got hit for £1.2 million within a couple of hours of one day. Very important lessons to learn from listening to that particular podcast. You can find it on the London Southeast website. You can find it via all my different tweets, and you've only got to find it via Investing Matters. So type in Investing Matters on Twitter and you'll see all that series going through. It'll be running until Wednesday, I think. And then there'll be a new podcast with somebody who I've just mentioned regarding the Master Investor Show. I'm not saying who it is yet, but that'll be an interesting one going out as well. Lots of different content out there, people, to keep you busy over the Easter break. Please share it. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it and then give us your comments and feedback. Thanks ever so much again for going onto YouTube and registering and subscribing for free. And thank you all for your continued support. Pete, last words.
A quick one. If people go to like YouTube, yeah, and they type in Investing Matters, will they just like find it?
They'll still find it, yeah. But the best thing to do is type in London South East in YouTube and they'll find all their interviews from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Via Spotify, type in Investing Matters as well.
I think I went on YouTube to look at one. I think I just put in at Conkers 3 and you came up or whatever. I think that was how I found it. So
you can find my ones from just typing in Conkers 3, but the London South East ones will be under London South East. I haven't got them on my YouTube account.
You know what? I think it found it on a search on at Conkers 3. But anyway, people, you know, basically this stuff is easy to find.
Absolutely. Just go to Spotify and type in Investing Matters and you'll get all of it. There's now 37, 38 interviews on there with some significant individuals across the City of London, various different skill sets. And there's more coming down the pipe. And we can see you at the Master Investor Show. If you are coming to the Master Investor Show on the 15th, send me a tweet to say we'll see you there and I'll hopefully be able to meet up with you and take a few people for a beer. or they can take me for a beer. I'm looking forward for a drink, Pete. I'm even staying overnight so I can get leathered.
Oh, you're going for it, then, mate. Wow.
I am, mate. I'm having it.
Serious. That's
I'm just
serious.
literally going to go from the bar in the Hilton and just
Yeah.
get in the lift, go upstairs, and just go like that, dunk.
Excellent. And you're going to be coming out of the Master Investor Show probably about sort of 2 o'clock or something after you've done your slot, and you'll be over the hill and knocking them back.
No, 5 o'clock, mate. 4 or 5 o'clock, I'll be coming out. I might try and sneak a beer in there, because they used to have. Did they not used to have a bar upstairs you could have a drink at when we used to go, Pete?
There was like a sort of restaurant
Did they
next
serve
door.
alcohol upstairs?
I can't remember, but there was, yeah, they did.
There you go.
Yeah, there was
I'm sure
alcohol.
they. I'm positive they did.
I think they did, yeah.
Because Jay, your friend Jay, was there, and I'm sure we were having a beer as we were talking about stocks and shares one time.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah. Oh, I can't,
Yeah. So
mate.
if you are going,
Long time
send me a
ago.
little message. Send me a little. Just get in touch and just say, "Come," because I'm gonna be at Master Investor Show on the 15th. Love to see you all there. All right, Pete. That's a wrap, mates. This is the longest one ever, mate. This is ridiculous.
Do you know what?
Right.
I was gonna tell listeners about Hungarian midwives, but we'll do that on TPI 99.
Wow. Anyway, ladies and gents, that is a wrap. Thank you ever so much for persisting with us. Thank you ever so much for your support. Thank you for helping us edge towards Twin Peaks Investing 100. Thank you all again for your donations to the Twin Peaks Memphis Challenge, where we're raising money for disabled children. And if you can make a donation, please find the Twin Peaks Challenge 23 gift just giving page and make a donation there. And thank you again for just continuing to listen to us rambling on about different things. Hopefully you're finding it educational. And hopefully you're finding some insights, and hopefully you're reducing the mistakes you're making, and hopefully you're making more and better decisions going forward, and hopefully you're avoiding the pitfalls and the mistakes that Pete and I make, and becoming better investors that way. So, ladies and gents, take care. God bless. Have a fantastic Easter. Enjoy a few beers. Enjoy lots of chocolate if you can, if you're allowed. Enjoy all the things that Pete can't enjoy. That's might as well say it that way.
You're getting me back.
I'm joking. I'm just getting my own back because he's spoiled one of my stocks again. Oh, all right.
Everyone.
Pete, take care, mate. Thanks again, folks. God bless you. Bye for now.
Bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with Sharepad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit shareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.